Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, what's going on here? Okay, all right, let's see if we're doing, all right, hold it. We're going to do things in reverse here. Hold on a minute, everybody. My board's coming up. Okay, thanks, Chris. All right, let me do, I'm going to do things a little bit in reverse. Chris, I'm going to come to you. Give me a couple of minutes on this.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005, and my accountant had gotten in cahoots. And next thing you know, my accountant died, and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I've signed and I've stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see $100,000, $600,000
yeah, you're
looking at deducted.
It. Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man. He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it." So he said, "Man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison." Mm-hmm. And I said, "What are we going to do?" So he said, "Hold on, man, let me get some lawyers." So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, "Man, we got a major problem." He said, "I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year." We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, "Man, well, this is an old tax return." He said, "Man, we got a problem." He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was, my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, "Nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses." And I heard a guy on the phone say, "What are we going to do when he goes to jail?" And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, "Marjorie Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem." When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, "Steve, what you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to go to work." I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming. Sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You can hang up being there. But 51% of your prison will be black, because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money from the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems, so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people, you can't inform your people, you can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Okay, today we're going to go to the phone lines here in a few minutes. $5,000 per hour literacy, $5,000 per hour literacy. Do you need $5,000? Mindset. If you got that mindset and how to do it, the literacy part, anybody can do it. So we're going to introduce that and go to the phone lines here right after this.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. but I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit, and it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay, today I jump on top before we go to phone lines 309. This started yesterday, $5,000 per hour literacy. One of the textbook that we're going to be using for this is, here it is, by a guy named Rob Slee, that's S-L-E-E. Rob Slee, the title of the book is Time Really Is Money, How to Make $5,000 Per Hour. So today's podcast is titled $5,000 Per Hour Literacy. Because if you don't know how to earn $5,000 per hour, it's because you're not literate on it. So that's what we aim to do here. We mentioned this book yesterday, so we're going to talk about it at least a little bit here today before we go to the phone lines, and as well as tomorrow. Now, just real quick, this isn't in the book. This is from my own personal experience. If you go to eBay, I'm looking, there's a house for sale in Johnston City, Illinois. That's in the southern part of the state of Illinois. There, the current bid, they got an auction going. And the bid price so far is $5,200. All right, they don't have a buy it now price, but let's come back to that. Also on eBay, under the buy it now for automobiles, and basically, long story short, look for things that if you want to earn $5,000 per hour, look for things that sell for $5,000 to $10,000. All right. Now on eBay auctions, motors that is, I'm looking at a truck here, $6,900. That's the amount of cash that people have. Here's another truck. Buy it now if you've got $1,195. Got 11, you know, it gives you information on it. It's got over 100,000 miles on it. Here's another one for $900. Here's another one for $6,900. Of course, they have other vehicles. Here's another one for $5,000 even, a Ford Galaxy Limited, 1966 classic. But they have other cars in here for $69,000, $22,000. Here's one for $7,000. So let's take... Where's that one for? Okay. Where was it? All right, here's one. All right, Ford Galaxy Limited, 1966, $5,000. Now, more than likely, I'm speculating because this is what some people do. Let's say he bought that car for $1,000 and might have put another $1,000 in work into it, and he's asking for $5,000. Okay. At the buy it now price. And let's say he's doing clean arithmetic, he'll net $3,000. Now, most people would be happy campers with that. All right. Because the silver eBay auction doesn't take you, it's a matter of minutes. You know, 15 minutes to 30 minutes tops. So all I'm saying is just using this example, okay, because like I said, there's a house in Johnson City. Now, this is not the buy it now price. They have like a 17-day auction on this one, or 17 days remaining. So the bid price is up to $5,200. It'll probably go higher than that. But you can actually build something like Lamar Alexander. He built the solar cabin for $5,000 with the solar on it. All right. So let's say he put it up on eBay I'm trying to keep it below 10. Let's say $7,000. $3,000 property. But what if he got together with a little team and let's say $3,000, and like I said, he's selling them below $10,000. Okay. $3,000 profit, but for every business day in a month, he can make $60,000 in a month. All right. So, and let's say he worked, he did a total of, or he didn't even work 40 hours, but let's say divided by, all right, not quite $5,000 an hour, but that's given a discounted price. So eBay, Etsy, there are a number of online platforms that you can use. I've got the most of my experience with eBay. Next will be either eBay, Facebook Marketplace, and Craigslist. Find something that will sell below $10,000, but do it multiple times. And once you play around with it, you'll get that magic number of $5,000 per hour. All right, so we'll go more into detail on this tomorrow. Here's some things I have here. There's $5,000. You need to develop the $5,000 per hour mindset. This is all part of $5,000 per hour literacy. Develop a $5,000 per hour mindset. That's why Rick mentioned, first thing, Rob Slee's book, which you can probably download a sample copy or – not copy, sample a chapter or two from Kindle for free. I went on and bought it after I read the sample copy. I read a chapter or two. I went on and bought it for like $9. But it's up to you. But and I'll probably read a little bit out of it today. Matter of fact, I'll do that before I go to Chris. But develop a $5,000 per hour mindset. And we'll get into that in a momentarily before we go to Chris. Then there's $5,000 per hour literacy versus illiteracy, e-commerce using tools like eBay, smartphones, which you most have. I got one in my hand. Think like a retailer. Think you got to hit a price point where they don't need to go get financing. And then organize a $5,000 per hour team, because that's when you're going to really hit some traction. So right before we go to the phone lines here, okay, let me go to my copy on my phone. And let's get into the mindset here. Once again, this is the name of the book is Time Really Is Money, How to Work for $5,000 per Hour. episode by Rob Slee, S-L-E-E. And let's see. All right. Okay. This is chapter 6, and I'm going to just read a little bit of this until we get to $5,000. Chapter 6, the first $50 per hour run. Some of you out there listening would be happy campers if you earn $50,000, $50 per hour. So let's start with here, chapter 6, at $50 per hour. Jumping the ladder takes nerve. And that's the income ladder, and this is all on your mind. Many people don't have a choice because either the ladder has been knocked them off, or it wasn't available for them to begin with. Mainly due to the Chinese market, the number of people is at an all-time high. With each passing day, more people around the world choose to own their own time, but how does one successfully make that jump? Okay. And they have a little illustration in the book. People that earn $50 an hour, then people who earn $500 an hour, people who earn $5,000 an hour, people who earn $50,000 an hour, and people who earn $5 million an hour. This book goes up that high. All right, but we're on 50 right now. Let's see. Okay, important tip. All right, it says, is there a place in the market not being served that makes room for another business or category? Important tip, at the $50 per hour rung, the owner is in the value proposition. Customers hire the firm almost solely because of the owner's skills. If you know my history, you'll know what's coming next. I'm encouraging you to become a nicheaholic. Okay. And then the author's name is Rob Slee. He says, my name is Rob, and I'm a nicheaholic. There, I admit it. You can say hi, Rob, to me later. Right now, the most important thing is for you to also become a nicheaholic. This needs to become your lifelong addiction. A wise business owner once told me to be the successful service provider, create a condition where the door to their office swings swings in, not the other way around. In other words, clients come to them. A pull business model creates this kind of condition. And then he mentioned black hole niches, super powerful forces that have customers and stakeholders wishing you'll never go out of business because it would hurt them. Oh, okay, black hole niches. Okay, so we want to be nicheaholics. We want to find it. Now, for me, that's small, off-the-grid houses and there's a book called Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid. The bottom of the pyramid is a big, wide base where they have a lot of customers. So for my niche, it's for people who have a budget, an out-of-pocket budget, of $25,000 or less. And even from $25,000, there's more people walking around with $9,000 than it is with $25,000. So that's my niche. I also want people that don't want to pay a utility bill. That's my niche. All right. So become a nicheaholic. Now let's see. Black hole niches. Let's see. Okay, so he's got the $50 niche. Nike developed a community. All right, most $50 per hour people do not create mashups, but this is a rung that is a good place to start thinking about the process. Mashing up compelling value propositions is almost zero marginal cost world that makes me giddy. Okay. All right, getting ready for the next rung. If you stay at the $50 per hour rung, the math doesn't work. But most owners and tradespeople at heart, so they will tell you never send to the second rung, which is the $500 per hour rung. The second rung is where great lifestyles begin, and where building business value is possible. All right, keep in mind that ascending to the second rung is not so much a leap, rather it's achieved through careful planning and then taking one step at a time. All right, let's see. All right, the second rung is the $500 per hour rung. All right. At the $50 per hour rung, the owner is the value proposition. The market can't distinguish between the two. But this is not the case of the next rung. Rather, the major I'll give you an example. Let's say at the $50 per hour rung, you have a technician. They might be installed. They might be a roofer, handyman, or whatever, and they earn $50 per hour when they come out to your job, wherever you want the job done or whatever. The $500 per hour person is above them, and they might have 10 people, 10 $50 per hour persons come out. So 50 times 10, $500. They don't do, well, what's the best way to put it? They get the job, the $500 person gets the job, but the $50 hour person does the work. If that makes any sense to you, the $500 per hour has got 10 people under him, so he gets $50 an hour technicians. The technicians earn $50 an hour, whereas he was the one that's got to manage those 10 technicians. So he gets $50 an hour per technician. That's $500 per hour. All right. Let's go to the next rung, which is, let's see. Where are we at? We're going to $5,000. Okay. And I recommend getting the book. All right, $500 per hour. We're still on $500 per hour. $500 per hour activities this week. All right, he's got five listed here. Let's see. It says, all right, they spend 4 hours on what they call mashup activities, like rocket maintenance service. They spend another 8 hours. They interview people that can help them out, and then they mentor their management team. All right, so the person who earns $500 an hour is spending anywhere to see 8 times 2, 16, 24. So they might spend about 40 hours a week in their activities because they got to have people under them to actually do the work. All right. Okay. Now, let's climb up to the $5,000 per hour rung. At the $50 per hour rung, the owner is the value proposition. That can be the self-employed person. Like if you're a self-employed person and you got a drywall company and you decide not to go do a job that day, then the business doesn't make any money that day because the self-employed person with just one person staff, him or herself, they are the business. So they don't get their $50 an hour until they go out and work. So that goes there. At the $500 per hour run, the firm delivers various value propositions, but the owner is central to the delivery of them. So in this case, let's use the drywall business again. Instead of the drywall person that makes $500 per hour, they get the job. They get 10 jobs of people who need drywall in their home or what have you. And they get 10 drywall contractors who actually do the work. So the guy who earns $500 per hour gets the job of, and he gets 10 $50 per hour people that actually do the work. All right. So they're in one spot doing what they do. Now let's go up to $5,000 per hour. At the $5,000 per hour run, the owner institutionalized value propositions with the firm, thus no longer being important to the delivery, delivering them to the firm's stakeholders. True value architecture, and that's what they are. When you get to $5,000 level, you're an architect. Takes place at the $5,000 run. Every owner spends time, sometime they're probably without knowing it. Let's see. Architects understand that they lose leverage when they grab hold of the details. So the architect can't be the bricklayer. Two different functions, two very important functions. The architect is the visionary, and the architect people in place to do the job. Okay, in the case, going back to the drywall, all right, the drywall guy, the architect of it, the visionary of it, the CEO of it, all right, he doesn't do the drywall job at $50 per hour. Okay, he has somebody that he hires at $500 per hour to hire the 10 people that will do the drywall work. And then from the architect's point of view, all right, he might have 10 more managers or supervisors that each hire 10 crews of people each, and that's how they're earning the $5,000 per hour. That's just one example. Okay. I highly recommend it. Now, SLE goes up higher than that. Let's see. Let me read a little bit about this. The value triad. There are three primary areas that comprise the $5,000 per hour activities. Another important clue, there are $5,000 activities. So, like for an eBay auction, all right, when we used to buy houses, bank foreclosures, or finance company foreclosures, a $5,000 activity would be finding a foreclosure priced at $500 to $1,000 and buying it. That only takes a few minutes. If you got an abundant supply of inventory, particularly if you do it online or whatever, that's quick. All right, you can do that in a matter. Let's say 15 minutes. But that contributes to a $5,000 per hour activity. And you haven't even used the whole hour. The next thing is you might want some partners to go in with you on a resell. So that's a few calls. Let's put in 15 minutes on that. These are all clean little numbers. You still got a half hour to go. You got your team together. You got the property together. Then you want to sell it through eBay, and you want to sell it through, let's say, Facebook Marketplace. So you spend 15 minutes to post an eBay auction and another 15 minutes to post a Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace auction. Those are four separate activities that took place within that hour. And if you sold it and netted $5,000 or more, those are all activities that you did. It took you an hour, but those are $5,000 activities. All right. I call this the value triad. These three areas are culture building, maintenance, niche conglomerate creation, and business model transformation. Now, culture. Culture can make or break a company according to – a culture could be eBay Marketplace. Because eBay Marketplace is a culture of people who are online that are used to e-commerce, and they're online looking for bargains or looking for something to buy. So eBay's got a culture. Etsy's got a culture. YouTube's got a culture. Those are, at least I consider those cultures. Let's see what they have on here. All right, 5,000 power activities this week, and they would be choose a niche. What's going to be your niche? I already explained what my niche is. All right, and that comes with price. You know, whatever, you know, what are you selling? I'm selling something that will go at a retail price, something where like a used car. If you have a car for sale and it's a used car or a trailer or a cabin and it's priced like a new car, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, maybe $9,000 to $10,000, more than likely it's going to move. All right, so let's see. Investigate new culture building exercise. All right. Okay. So there are $5,000 activities, and there are $50 activities, and then there's dollar menu activities. If you go to McDonald's, the person who takes your order, they're doing $1 activities and $5 activities, whatever on that menu, those are the activities that they do. However, there's a manager that oversees that they make sure they do those duties correctly. That's why they get paid a little bit more. Of course, the person who owns the McDonald's franchise, they make more money for the whole operation. So in any event, I do highly recommend the book. Because he builds on this and takes you progression from $50 an hour, because it's all in your mindset. Once you wrap your head around it, you'll get it. Particularly if you do something, because I can kick myself. I used to do auctions where we're making $5,000, $6,000, up to $10,000 in an auction. But then that's the only auction we would do for a month. Okay. Until it's, and even after a friend told me. But imagine, and that's why I recommend just study eBay. Imagine if you had one auction where you made $10,000, which is easy to do on eBay, and or Facebook Marketplace. And if you did 100 of those, you'd make $1 million. $10,000, we're talking about third grade math again, $10,000 times 100 equals $1 million. Now, let's take $10,000, and I'm about to go to the phone lines here. Let's say you did one a day. You took one out of, you got 24 hours a day. You take one out of your day, and you placed an auction up. All right. With anticipation, you're going to earn $10,000. Just one a day. Monday through Friday, by the end of the week, you got a potential of $50,000 come to. And let's say you do this with auctions, just auctions. All right. $50,000, and then you do that every week, that's $200,000. So if you did that, that's, now let's say you netted $200,000 a month. Then multiply that by 5 months out of the year. You did that for five consecutive months. Then you've made $1 million in 5 months out of the year. Less than 6 months, less than half a year. Now, if you organize, you're probably going to need a team to help you do that. But not a big team, three or four people. Now, let's say you got more ambitious, and $10,000 per house, that's 100 in a month. Now, if you break this up into working days, you'd have to place up five auctions in a day. In a day, 25 in a week. If you have the proper team, that's very, very manageable. And you have $1 million a month business. Think on paper first. Find your widget. Now, like for me, that's why I play the solar cabin thing. I mean, you guys hear two, three, four times a week, sometimes five times a week. Sometimes, you know, with the multiple podcasts, you know, three, four times a day. But that's why I play it so often. Because you can take something that simple and just repeat it. Just repeat it. Every day. All right. Let's go to the phone lines here. 309, your mic is open. 309. Okay, welcome. Did I play Faith Street? Yeah, I played Faith Street, right. So we're going to come back to him momentarily. We want something that's not long. We did Faith Street. What's this? Oh, we'll be there right.
See, I now learned this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You hear
now? Listen to me. Rich people think differently. So what I'm going to put in your head today is a rich people concept so you can get to understand it. The only difference between successful people and not is just how they think. Rich people think different. Quit letting people tell you you got to get qualified in another program. You don't need another program to be successful. You need to change the way you think. So here's the deal. The problem with becoming a millionaire is that when you decide that you want to be a millionaire, you immediately start thinking, how can I become a millionaire? Well, that thought don't just pop into your head, so you get frustrated, and you don't become a millionaire. And you start creating stuff like, well, I guess this wasn't the Lord's will, or as soon as I think of how I'm going to make a million. You can't think of how to make $1 million. Stop. Do you know if you knew how to make $1 million, what's today, Tuesday? Wouldn't you make it by Friday? Would not you make it by Friday? But suppose I told you how you can become a millionaire with what you have. Because here's the deal. All of you have everything it takes to become rich. You just don't believe it. Now, if you can develop this theory that I'm about to share with you, I have the way for you to be rich. This is it. First of all of you have a gift. God gave it to you when he created you. God never created a single soul without giving them a gift. That's the God that created you. He's a very smart God. Here's the cold thing. When he made you, he put the gift inside of you. He didn't hide it under the ocean. It ain't on the mountain nowhere. It ain't under no rocks. You ain't got to go drilling. God put what you needed inside of you at birth. All of you have a gift. But you have got to do your gift, the thing God gave you at birth to do. It is the thing that you do the absolute best with the least amount of effort. That's your gift. Anything else you're doing, you're wasting your time. Do you hear me? You're wasting your time. If when the alarm clock goes off in the morning and it makes you sick every morning that alarm go off, it's because you ain't doing your gift. You're going against what God created you to be. Do most of you know what your gift is? Who in here doesn't know their gift yet? Okay, let me tell you what you do. Go home today. Don't talk to nobody. Sit down and have one conversation with yourself. What is the thing that I do the absolute best with the least amount of effort? This ain't going to take you long. You old enough, you grown. Write it down. I don't care if it's networking. I don't care if it's babysitting. I don't care if it's doing color. I don't care if it's painting. Whatever it is, it's what you do. Sing it. Whatever you do the best, write it down. That's your gift. That's it. You ain't got to go asking a bunch of people. They've been telling you your whole life. You know, you ever have people call you with their problems? They always call you with your problems because you gifted at it. But you didn't know how to identify it. If you identify your gift. Now, let me ask you this question. This thing that you're gifted at, if you did it for somebody, do you think somebody would pay you $10 for your gift? Just $10. Could you babysit for $10? Could you cut somebody's hair for $10? Could you cut their grass for $10? Could you make them a chicken dinner for $10? Could you do something for $10? Everybody, don't you have something somebody would give you $10 for? Yeah. Okay, now, once you have something that somebody's willing to pay you $10 for, this is how this works. It's called the multiples of 10. See, you don't have to figure out how to be a millionaire. You just got to figure out the thing that makes you $10. So now here we go. You do it and you make $10. Soon as they pay you the 10, go do it 10 more times. Whatever it was. Watch some more kids 10 more times. Get another 10. You got $100. When you get $100, whatever you did to make that $100, listen to me, do it 10 more times. You ain't got to get tricky with it. Just do it 10 more times. You'd have made $1,000. Whatever you did to make the $1,000, don't get smart. Stay stupid now.
do it 10 more times. You have now made $10,000. Hold up. Now we finna grow a little bit, but guess what you got to do to grow? You just got to do some more. Whatever you made $10,000 doing, I need you to do it 10 more times. What you tripping for? If you do it 10 more times, you got $100,000. Now, you might have to hire some people to make this happen. You got to figure that part out. But all you got to do is do what you did for $10. Once you make $100,000, if you just do it 10 more times.
All right. And that's Steve Harvey with it's really that simple. Really that simple. Everybody listening, you've done something that simple. You just got to keep on multiplying it. Wrap your head around that. 309, your mic is open if you're there.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm here.
All right, good.
Good morning. And definitely, people need to understand what it means to be multiple. It was funny you said drywall earlier. I just happen to be a drywall contractor. And, you know, my payroll every week was, you know, 20 grand. And, you know, when you got to pay 20 grand in 5 days, and you don't want to have to chase the money, you don't have a bank behind you, you got to realize, what is it going to take for me to get to a point where I don't have to borrow anything? And, you know, my number was 36,000. But I took 36,000 and employed 70 people. So I had to borrow 36,000, and it wasn't at one time. It was just make my payroll until my checks come in that I don't have to chase them. I can go do something else. When they get here, they're going to bank, and from that point, we'll work with that money. And, you know, we did $980,000 in 6 months. So, the power of multiplicity, it's working the guys that are making, you know, $50 an hour. I have many guys that pay $3,000 a week. And, but the thing is I also made at least $3,000 off of them. We're pretty close. And when you look at, all right, say you got four guys and they're making $20 an hour, $25 an hour. Say you're giving $25 an hour.
Right.
And if you made $5 an hour off each one of them, well, now you're making $25 an hour. Why it's 70.
Right.
So it got into that multiple deal. How could I make $5,000 a day? Just putting in the work. They're getting with, you know, over and above, because see, not just paying them by the hour, I gave them the incentive of footage. So the faster you get it, the more money you make. And, but don't cut corners, because if you have to come back, it will cost you more, and you didn't make that, because you're going to miss something. Go through it, do it right, get good at it, become whoever you are, and then you're going to make yours, you know, and with the bonus, if you do it correctly, get out of here right. Well, that was the thing. That was the incentive part. And anytime you incentivize something, you're still going to get the same job, but people ain't looking at it like, well, you're only giving me this, and this is all I'm going to get out of that. Well, okay, that's all you're going to get, but how fast do you want to get it? So that means
right.
It's a let out. You know, if you get out of here in 10 hours,
$20 to $25 an hour, that's decent. That's decent money in many places.
Right.
Particularly
and,
if they got a place to go to every day, every week.
Exactly, and that's really easy to figure out and get that stuff rolling. And it does take that person, though, like you said, that's going to be the one that finds that work for you and has that stuff for you and make sure your paycheck is there. You know, there's a little team that goes along with that. But the way I did it is I handled it myself. So I all I needed to make was a minimum. If I was going to pay somebody, what rule of thumb is the way business works is you have to make that business three times what your hourly rate is to afford to pay you.
Right.
And that's how business works. So anybody that wants to think about that, so look, and you mean to tell me they're making three times my paycheck? I'm like, yep, every day. If they don't, you don't work being there. Because
yeah, well, yeah, like you said, you got to factor in, like, you take a temp agency. A temp agency, what do they pay you? They've got to charge three to four, maybe five times what you're getting, because they have other, you know, marketing, administration, the other things connected, and you're part of that overhead.
Yeah, and they don't necessarily, those work agencies, they're working on a multiplicity level. So that's a little different, actually. They don't work on four to five times what you get paid. But see, they're working usually many, many people in that one position, paying them. And what they'll wind up doing is getting just a percentage of what you're getting paid on top. And all they
right.
do is write the check. Okay, so all they're basically doing is writing the check. You go show up there at the job, you do the job, you do everything. They get told how many hours you work, and they come, you go to them and get your paycheck. And now
right.
for doing that, they make the same thing as like the credit card machine. And it's up to like 15 to 17% of your pay. So it could be anywhere from 1 to 2%, depends on how much you're being paid. But when you have 100 employees or 1,000 employees or 10,000 or 100,000 like some of these places have nationwide, now all you got to do is go back to that first grade arithmetic and what a penny a day does. So they're all about that multiplicity
right.
and taking that minimum and having the longevity of always being paid and having X amount of dollars on Friday because they got this much of everybody. And when you add up that big old sum of money and they handled it, there's a nice chunk of change sitting there. And the best part is for the business, they don't have to deal with any of the paperwork and taxes and crap like that. It's all done over here as to a subcontractor. Now they just 1099 that agency.
Right. Let's see, this call's going in and out today. All right, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Okay, yeah, these phone lines. Okay. Any announcements, Chris? These phone lines are going in and out today.
Oh, no, not necessarily. I was talking about what people can do to try to make money. And, you know, our material, my website will be up. We just got all of our photographs for all the jobs and stuff that's been built by the factory. And they're all going to be up on the website. You can see all sizes of them. I think I might have said it the other day, I'm looking to build the largest house in Illinois.
We talked about that earlier.
Yeah,
we talked about that a few days ago, yeah. Biggest house in your city or county?
No, actually, it's going to be the biggest one in the state.
Oh, in the state, okay.
And that will be the living space. And then it will have a 30,000 square foot garden vertical garden. On the roof of it, we got a design. I had an architect show me a design. so it, but yeah, it'll. It, my goal is to provide food out of the greenhouse that not only feeds anybody and everybody at the Airbnb, but it will feed the, one of the colleges or maybe both of them. Right there. So I'm looking forward to it, and I just found there's another property in town that was a greenhouse, and it's a huge property, about 8 acres or 9, and it's totally fenced in, and that entire place could actually feed and fit all of the hunger problems and housing problems in this city and throughout the state, starting with the housing out there. But the food, we could set this up as half a store, and right now it's just all Bisqueen and wrapped over a building, and it's such a real waste of what the ability of that property could do. And we want to get harvest, you know, and it's just, if I can figure this out, they just sold it for $800,000. I missed out, it's too late figuring out about it. But it already had the big buildings and the warehouses, everything, loading docks, you could do anything and everything out of this property, but also you could build transitional housing in it. It's fenced in, have a gated property to where the city don't have to worry about nothing. This city is going to create its own city. But it'll be building for rule, you know. I'm trying to figure out some little property to start doing some communities. Because it needs to be done. It ain't necessarily just build people on top of people. It's just build it and build resources. But no, that's about the only announcement I got at the moment.
Okay. Well, the audio here today is kind of rough. It was even on Clubhouse like that a little bit earlier. Oh, and Chris, we're looking for affiliates. I'll catch you offline for that to help co-host some of these programs.
Okay.
So I'll call you later on that. Okay, all right, we're going to cut it short today because of just the audio. I don't know. Could be towers bound down this way. So thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to do part two of this, $5,000 per hour literacy.
At Jiffy Lube, we car about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking car off business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll car for your car like we car for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.